Hello everyone, welcome to Cellular Healing TV. I'm Ashley Smith. Today we welcome movement coach Erin Alexander, who is here to discuss the subtle physical and environmental shifts that create huge impacts on your health. Erin will be talking about the origins of movement, how to move more effectively, and how our environment around us can mold our bodies more than we know. Erin Alexander is an accomplished manual therapist and movement coach with over 13 years of professional experience. He is the founder of Align Therapy, an integrative approach to functional movement and self-care that has helped thousands of people out of pain and into health. He hosts the top-rated Align podcast, featuring the biggest names in movement and wellness. Erin's clients include Hollywood celebrities, Olympic and professional athletes, and everyone in between. He teaches worldwide and resides in Venice, California. Please check out our show notes for more information about Erin and his programs. This episode of CHTV is brought to you by Fast Tonic. This oral stable molecular hydrogen supplement assists in fasting, shows promise in anti-aging, encourages post-workout recovery, mitigates oxidative stress, inflammation, and many other triggers for disease and imbalance. Curious to try molecular hydrogen for yourself? Our CHTV audience can check it out at getfasttonic.com. All right, so let's get started and welcome Dr. Pompa and Erin Alexander to the show. This is Cellular Healing TV.
Welcome to Cell TV. And you and I kind of go back, you know, we're all at the same seminars, you know, and one of the things I always remember, I don't know what seminar it was. I think it was one of the low carb events. And I'm talking to someone and I look over and you have people on your shoulders, my man. I mean, you literally stacked up. So I don't think that that's part of your Align therapy. However, you're a strong dude, but you know, I mean, what I love about your movement and that day, I remember, you know, we started talking is how you bring, you know, movement, which I think my audience understands the importance of movement, but I want you to actually kind of, you know, bring some importance to it as well. But what you do amazing is you bring it to the everyday. And I think one of the points you make is, you know, we go to the gym, we do yoga, we do this, we do that, but it's what we're doing day in, day out, which really can hurt us or massively help us. And your Align therapy falls in there. And by the way, you're one of the, you have one of the top rated podcasts called Align, right? Your Align podcast. So that's how much of an expert you are in this area. All right, man, let's bring it to life. Movement. I mean, look, I think it, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir when I say that we have to move, but it means a little bit more and a little bit different to you, but bring some value to it first.
Yeah. First, thanks for having the conversation. Appreciate making it happen, man. Yeah. So kind of like something that I see through the world that once you see this, it's really hard to unsee this is most of us, if you were to look at people, like take the cell phones, for example, if you didn't have, see that they had the cell phone and they were sending important text messages or whatever, you didn't realize what was happening because you grew up in this time frame, You'd look at them and think it was a bunch of sad people. And what's happening at the same time as we're structurally being formed into this hunched over position, that's all physiologically tied into decreasing testosterone levels, increasing stress hormones, cortisol, for example. Mm-hmm. There's been studies out of Harvard specifically focusing on this. They did saliva samples of just 2 minutes of people hunched over into this hunched over, like essentially staring at your cell phone position. Into that position after 2 minutes, they showed stress hormones actually increasing from that. And they showed testosterone levels decreasing from that. And then the inverse happening when you go into more of an upright position. You know, and so what's happening structurally, our environmental mold, not like the kind that grows under the carpet kind of mold, but the mold that we're living in, it's literally forming us into what I would conceive to be more of like a depressed, anxious, potentially obese, like all of these different problems that we're kind of attacking through putting different things into our mouth. I think there's an environmental conversation that's not had by enough people. And that's essentially what Align Method is, a book coming up and then online program. And, you know, that's all that, what that's all about.
Yeah. We'll talk about that. Yeah. You know, I mean, this is my background. I don't even know if you know this about me, but structural correction was my background. So I understand, you know, the physiology of we create these postures. So you see so many kids today, especially, have forward head posture. Obviously, the phone, as you pointed out, but video games. I mean, it's unbelievable. And, you know, I would educate people on every one of your spinal bones, to make it simple, have these things called proprioceptors in them. And they're really mechanoreceptors that communicate with your brain constantly of the malposition that it's in. And when you're in that position that you were describing, you tether the spinal cord, which has a lot to do with your sympathetic dominant people, anxiety, how you feel every day. So what you said is absolutely true. Structure affects function, even at a hormonal level. So what do we do about it? I mean, obviously, you know, you have this therapy, right? I mean, you know, movement is important, but so is structure. How are you putting it all together?
Yeah. Well, so you need both. And so that's what you'll see a lot of times with people that are like traditional, say like a physical therapist. Oftentimes physical therapists are looking more at, you know, let's do this band exercise. You need medial rotation or external rotation. We need, you know, more focused on the movement part, or a personal trainer, be more movement. Then you'll go see a massage therapist and they're more focused on getting laxity and getting, you know, getting everything, the nervous system to calm down. The reality is you need both of those. You know, the scales need to be equal. And so what we can do if we just start to bring a little bit more awareness into mechanics of our movement on a momentary basis, is we can start to bring more flexibility and strength into literally everything that we're doing. You know, so right now, as we're having this conversation, I'm sitting on the floor. I actually have a band around my foot right now. You can see I'm over here kind of doing stuff.
No, listen, you know, I watched him. I watched you do interviews, you know, at seminars. You're on the ground and you're doing exactly do what you say, you know, but you're in incredible shape. I mean, you know, so it's working.
And I don't do that much fitness is a thing, because my life is kind of play and fitness based, you know? So right now, as we're doing this, technically this could be considered as work, which I'm just immensely grateful that that's the reality. But as we're at work, we can be also at play, also at gym, also at yoga, and also connecting community. You know, so making your work be more of like a community connection piece, as opposed to it just being like staring into a cell phone. You know, so but those are all choices that both you and I have like intentionally made for whatever reason. Both of us have noticed at one point the value of community. Now here we are connecting to community. Right. But we have to make those conscious decisions to kind of like make our life a little bit more supportive in that way.
Yeah, you know, and I want you to be really descriptive, because I think I love about you is you know, you give people like, do this now. I mean, you're going in this show, folks, you're going to get do this now stuff. I mean, you can start it today, which is great. You know, you're an expert in the origins of movement, and that's really where a lot of your stuff came out of, which I agree with. Look, I look at the origins of diet. I look at how ancient cultures do what, where, how, when, and it really has developed a lot of my material that I teach. Same with you. That's one of the things I liked while you're on the show. Talk about the origins of movement.
Oh, man. So I'm doing a chapter in this book right now, actually, about hanging. And one of the things that I'm like by no means an expert on these topics, but I like to research and look into it. But a lot of really smart people believe that we come from, you know, arboreal critters, like ape-like critters running around the trees. A lot of smart people say that we still are apes. There's not really a separation. If you look at, you know, the organization of our shoulder girdle, they're built to hang. You know, much more than that of a monkey's shoulder girdle, for example. So like monkey bars are actually kind of like a misnomer. They actually should be called ape bars or human bars for that matter. You know, so structurally, our joints are built to be in this up, overhead flexion hanging position. And one of the beautiful things about that, as far as like actionable tips people can take away, is if you start to tap into some of that, like your ancestry of hanging through trees, if that's true, that doesn't need to be true.
Yeah, right.
Structurally, it is true, though. That's present moment stuff.
That's your point.
You can literally reshape the shoulder girdle. You know, there's a whole book called Shoulder Pain. It's pretty quick read. It's like 150 pages. I highly recommend people checking out Shoulder Pain ? By Dr. John Kirsch. And it gets into just a simple hanging protocol. I think it's for like a minute and a half each day, just spending time in a passive hang. And what you see with that is it literally reshapes that whole relationship of the clavicle and the scapula and the head of the humerus. From most of us are in this forward flexed, medially rotated position with our shoulders. Mm-hmm. Just spending that time up above, it literally changes the shape of the bones, right? It's Wolf's Law, right? Our Wolf's Law being that our bones change based off of the peripheral stimulus, based off of mechanical stimulus.
By the way, so we have the opposite belief. That's why forward head posture doing
that's it.
We end up that position because of Wolf's Law and et cetera.
Yeah. It's really easy for us to accept that Wolf's Law, no one would call it that, but that our bones can shape into a position that's deleterious or negative for us. We're like, well, the bone, it's a bony thing. It shifted. So you're screwed. You can't get out of that. It's like, you didn't start off as a baby in that position. You started off as this blank slate and then you shifted your own bones into these positions. So what makes you believe that you can't shift them back into a more healthy position?
Yeah.
So something as simple as just adding a daily hang into your day, get a pull-up bar into your doorway. Every time you pass through that, just do a little swing, opens up your lungs, opens up your heart, opens up your diaphragm, changes the shape of your shoulder, makes you feel more confident. So says, the studies in Harvard and other places. Simple, simple, simple.
Yeah.
Yeah,
keeping it simple. I know that, in your book that's coming out, and you have a program you can talk about online, but sure. You talk about the five steps of moving, right? And the five steps of moving effectively and efficiently. So, give them some pointers and the things they can do right now.
Okay, another thing right now. Everybody needs to spend more time on the floor. If you look at, this is maybe a little bit of a stretch, but I see people, I don't really love the term adult. Like to me, like adult feels very stuffy and old and like on the way towards death. what I see is a true adult, like in the not so great version of that, is someone that can't comfortably get down on the ground and play with a kid. They can't comfortably get down on the ground and play with a dog. It's like, like if you make that sound as you get to the ground, you're an adult. You've made it. You've arrived. And so you can start to rewind that just by literally just making your life get ground cushions, spend some time on make it be so that some of my really close friends, like a guy called Kyle Kingsbury and Aubrey Marcus, people that are like influential in like the fitness machismo kind of like masculine, big, strong man reality, they have low tables to eat at. And they have floor cushions in their house, and there's people that like we respect in the world that are big, strong, testosteronic human beings that are adapting this, So when I say this, I'm aware that some people might be like, well, that's crazy. I'm not Japanese, yeah. But it's not crazy.
Why I'm crazy. I mean, I'm not saying it is or isn't, but I understand the physiology effects of squatting. I mean, not squatting with weights. I'm talking about literally sitting in a squatted position. When I lectured in Africa many times, actually, and I don't know how I said it, but I said something about structure and how squatting, I was talking about getting back to their roots, right? They used to all squat. And then we invented these nice chairs and we don't squat anymore. And actually the gentleman that was there got very excited because he wrote a whole thesis on the benefits of squatting and physiologically how it affects your hormones, how it affects your structure. I mean, all of it. So squatting, yeah. I get, but why, like, what are you talking about being on the floor? What does that look like? And why is it so beneficial?
Yeah. So first of all, with being on the floor, people need to, like a disclaimer, get as many cushions as you possibly need. It shouldn't be an uncomfortable thing. It shouldn't be like, okay, Aaron said be on the floor, so I'm going to like just lie on bricks all the time. Like make it really comfortable. Raise your butt up as high as you possibly need. That could be 2 feet off the ground for some people that are very inflexible. But slowly you start to bring that journey all the way down. And what you see in countries that spend more time on the floor, they poo and they pee and they sleep on the ground, they have minimal to no incidence of osteoarthritis around the hips. So they're continually feeding fluid into those hips throughout the day. Just through, every time I get down to check my email, I have to go through a full range of motion of a squat. I'm essentially doing a Turkish getup. So now I don't need to do those Turkish getups at the gym as much because I'm doing them all day long at the house. So any incidence of osteoarthritis goes like way, way down if you're going through that full range of motion with the hips. Fall risk, that's the number one leading reason for elderly needing assisted living. The reason that they need that is because of the chair, which is a sign of nobility, right? And then the noble people are usually the people that end up becoming the palest and the fattest and the sickest because the other people that are actually working for them are feeding their body by doing the work. Those people, they end up losing that range of motion of like that bottom, like 4 feet, 3.5 feet of range of motion, it's just gone. It's this proprioceptive blank space, right? And so all of our proprioception, use that term, is up in this front little right, like 12 by 12 little box in front of our face. We miss out that really a truly healthy, vibrant being of any sort, animal, baby, adult, is someone that really has that full connection through their legs. And so, just spending time on the ground is that.
This is step one. So we'll get to step two. We're stuck on one, which is not a bad thing. So, I mean, give us some scenarios of when they could do this. You gave one. You said you put your computer down low to make you go low, right? Every time you check your emails, you're being pulled down. What are some other, eating. You did give that one. Eating is another one. Instead of, you know, you could eat at a coffee table, so to speak, right? I mean, that's what the Japanese technically do, right? So give some other ideas.
Take a break from work and go outside and sit in the grass. You know, so you could take your shoes off, you could take your shirt off, expose your sun and your eyes to the sun, you know, and just spend some time literally getting down on the ground. All that, depending upon, I guess, what kind of fertilizers they're using, but all that dirt, you're now going out and you're having this probiotic experience as well. Yeah, so that would be something that I will, anytime if I'm doing some type of like indoor conference thing like we're doing, to me, I'll get charged up by walking outside, taking my shoes off and spending time on the ground. No, so use it as like a break would be an option as well in between work.
I've got one because I'm thinking of my life, right? Like, I'm thinking, how can I possibly do that in my day, right? I'm coming up with ideas. I realize that the one place that I spend the most time on the ground, which brings me to the ground most often, is my dogs. It's like I encounter my dogs, I end up on the ground with them somehow, you know, and that's one of my favorite things to do, frankly. You know, whether it's playing with them or just cuddling them and loving on them. So there's one. Think of that one.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great reason to get a dog or just like, so the dog is an example of that mold. Your dog is a part of your mold. Just by you interacting with that animal, all of a sudden you're kind of attuning, you're molding your body to it. So it brings you down to the ground. So does having a foam roller on the ground. So does having myofascial release balls. So does having a balance board. So does having cushions. You know, anything that will say, okay, now that's there. It's a visual cue. I'll use it. You know, so that's the thing is realize that you become your environment, you know, so your visual cues that you have in your environment are super powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's your point of environmental molds. We're not talking about the black mold in our walls. Typically we're talking about on the show, we're talking about literally the things that mold us, right? I mean, you know, again, for better or for worse, you know, hanging, absolutely. Squatting, great. Time on the ground. Those are molds, environmental molds that make us better. Computers. Yeah. Those things, we got to work against that stuff. And
could I do another tip that people can go with? So grab a pull-up bar, have that in between any doorway that you walk through often. And every time it's just little titrates, right? Little drops, boom, boom, boom. That times a year or 5 years, you're a whole different person, right? You have the cushion on the ground, you're spending that times a year, 5 years, when you're 100 years old, if you got that cushion now when you're 30, you will not need assisted living unless there was some other, you know, whatever circumstance, but you will be able to get down and up off the ground until you're done with this body.
And is the hanging one of the steps or is that part of
step? Yeah. The hang is one of the steps. So one of the steps is spend time hanging each day. The other step is spend time on the floor. The other thing is cultivate your hip hinge. You know, so this is a thing that so many people miss out on in their day-to-day experiences. If you go to a CrossFit gym or Olympic lifting or any kind of, you see a personal trainer, it's all going to be about the hip hinge. They're going to want you to squat. They're going to want you to lunge. They're going to want you to deadlift. And it's going to be, okay, bring those hips back, get a nice sharp angle, get that, cultivate that hip hinge, activate those glutes. You're thinking about it. You're conscious, you're intentional. And then you leave and the rest of the day you dump yourself over and you lift with your spine, which the spine's not built to lift. Right? The spine's built to distribute that weight from up to down. The hips are what's built to actually really bear that load. You know, so through day to day, you can, the same way that you would practice hip hinging in the gym, you practice that as you're sitting down on a chair, for example, you can actually kind of pretend you're going into a squat. So you reach the butt's back.
I want you to show it. I'm going to make you get up off the floor.
I want to show you. Do you want to see it?
I want to see
you. I'm going to show you, Dr. Popham. All right.
Hip hinging.
Yeah.
I want to see hip hinging.
As you, So as you're coming up, so first of all, being comfortable, which is being, so I'm already on the floor, so it's a little straight. But first of all, just being comfortable being in the squat position, this is so great that you asked me to move this, because now I'm starting to pump all these fluids out my organs and open up my pelvic floor, et cetera. But with the hip hinge, you'd want to be staying nice and long in your spine, right? So you're not going to hunch yourself over in that okay. position. And then you end up going up into this forward head position, the dowager's hump, all the stuff we don't want. So staying good and long in the spine, reaching the butt cheeks back, and just reaching back, staying long through the spine the whole entire time until eventually you land your butt down onto the edge of the seat. You know, so if you're doing that, I mean, this is like the worst. I have like probably hundreds of videos about this at this point, so we can just like connect to one or something. But if you're doing that on a momentary basis, as you sit down in the chair, as you sit down on the toilet, as you, you know, lean over to pick something up off the ground, now you're like, it's like you're prehabbing yourself. When you go to the gym, you don't have to do all these stretches and dynamic hip, whatever. You've been preparing yourself to be in the gym the whole day, the whole week, the whole month, right? That's the difference between a athletic animal and like a kind of like, you know, less athletic adult. Is animals throughout the day, they're continually tuning themselves the way that they move through the world. They step on a root differently and they have to climb up the tree. They're always, always, always in this kind of like tuning state. Mm-hmm. And then when they need to go and attack or whatever it is, they're already prepped. Humans right. don't do that.
Right.
But we can. That's the thing, is we can. It's not complicated.
Yeah, let me ask something. Yeah, we're going to get to that. That's three. You have two more. Okay, so, but let me ask, were you always like, even as a child, I was not flexible. I remember watching other kids very young, and I could barely sit Indian style. You know, I've always had very tight ligaments and tendons. However, I never got injured in those types of injuries. I had very few, if any. And also, they were really strong. I was just naturally really strong for my size. And, yeah. you know, it's has to do with these darn tight ligaments. I mean, were you always flexible or did you gain it with all that? Because you're really flexible and, you know, and strong. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, not at all. No. So I started off super immobile, and then I got really obsessed with bodybuilding, which really threw like a big wrench into the whole system, because I was so obsessed with appearing strong that I ended up becoming super imbalanced, because all I cared about was like the beach muscles. And then I ended up having pretty dramatic injuries as a product of that. And yeah. so then it became more of a direction towards like Rolfing and, you know, figuring, you know, different forms of manual therapy and even psychology, like went and studied psychology and just curious about what forms this physical body. Cause I promise it's more than just musculoskeletal muscle stuff. You know, our body is a representation of the way that we think and we feel. Yeah. You can see the way people think and the way that they perceive the world and the way that they carry themselves. Yeah. There's a quote from Ina Rolfe. She said, the way you walk through the room is the way you walk through your life.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, no, totally. I couldn't agree more. So again, you know, if when we're talking about a cellular level here, this is Cellular Healing TV, so we can that. You know, Bruce Lipton was one of the first to talk about how our thoughts change our cells, literally our DNA, and then the cell via the DNA produces different proteins. We become our thoughts, literally, right? For better or for worse. No doubt the same for what you're saying. You know, basically our environmental molds, if you will, become who we are, because it changes the DNA and changes the protein, changes who we are. So how you carry yourself, the things you're doing every day. You're right. It no doubt it benefits the joints, the ligaments, the tendons, the muscles, but there's a feedback into the DNA as well. You become that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Biology of Belief was his, like one of his like big books, which is just the name in and of itself is great. Yeah. You know, and that's every time you look in the mirror, if you see like a forward head posture, maybe like the beginnings of the dowager's hump, which means a dignified elderly woman, actually, a dowager's hump, you know, and your shoulders are rolled forward and you have shadows, bags in your eyes. And it's like, what do you think what feedback loop are you forming for yourself? Right. So every time you say, oh man, I look tired and shitty. You know, maybe we can't swear in here. I apologize. Hopefully we don't have to bleep that out. But I look tired and hunched over and, you know, I look haggard. You know, if you change that posture up slightly, not through faking it though, You know, we do this like fake it till you make it. I think that's fine. I get that. And through starting to integrate some of these basic fundamental practices into your day-to-day life, it's not a fake it till you make it. It's just you become it. You know, because on an ongoing basis, you're continually kind of cultivating and sculpting it. And then you look in that mirror and you say, oh, wow, I'm looking pretty good. I'm looking strong. I'm looking upright. And then you go out into that world and you're like, yeah, I feel good. And then people tell you, wow, you look good. You're like, oh, wow. And then now we're really getting to the biology of belief. Yeah. But it's these continual feedback loops that we're forming. And structure, that's what you see, man. Every time you walk across, you see the reflection of yourself. Humans do that. I do all the time. You look over, you say, how am I looking? Right? If you look over and you're hunched over, like, okay, that's the beginning of that loop.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like you said, you create it by all the stuff that you're doing, right? Getting back to, you know, our ancestors, getting back to our childhood movements and things, you will create that posture at the cellular level. I mean, literally, you'll end up being that. Whereas doing this all day, you're going to be that. And then it's feeding back into unhealth in many ways. So, okay, we did three. There was two more steps into this. Yeah. I'm not letting you go.
I want to say one thing. Something that I liked about you is you still have a youthful spark. Like, you've managed to maintain that. And it seems like my guess would be you'll maintain that until you're not on this planet anymore. And I think that that's such a huge conversation that people don't really maybe have the right vernacular to talk about. You know, it's not as easy to kind of hold that into a beaker, but it's like, I think of that ember of youth, you could call it, as just that. It's like, we need to hold that. We need to support that. And if you can support that through your life all the way through, you know, like Einstein, his whole thing was like creativity, man, creativity wins it. If you don't have that, you're screwed. You know, and it's that childish, you know, look up into the trees, be able to get down on the ground and play, be able to make faces to your kid. If you can maintain that on an ongoing basis, it's a huge conversation of cellular health that it's less easy to hold it and measure it. But that's something that I noticed with you, which is why I resonated with you.
Oh, no, anyway. I appreciate that. You know, I mean, I think people would argue, oh, it's personality. And I would argue, yeah, there's no. ways, what you just said, there's ways to do it with every personality. Of course, there's different personalities. However, you were a kid once and you still did those things, right? I mean, there's ways to bring out the way you were as a child. And the things I love to do keep me there. You know, I mean, honestly, it's like, you should see me when I ride my bike. That's a childish thing, I guess, right? I mean, I'm the happiest guy in the world. I spend so much of my days in the woods. And one of my goals for this year is, you know, I exercise all the time, but I did less of it last year because I traveled so much in the woods. And I realized, gosh, I have a thing with being in the woods. It's from my childhood, man. So again, I mean, if you go back to some of the things you loved as a child, there's nothing I love more than playing Legos with my kid. I just said to my 15-year-old, man, I miss when you were a kid because now he's too cool for Legos. You know, I'm not too cool for Legos. I love Legos. And then we played with these electric cars. I told him, like, I miss that too. Yeah, he's too cool for the electric cars.
I think it's also like your childhood, but it's also like your ancestry. It's also that the woods is one of the most robust environments with just you're able to adapt to so much out there. Yeah. So there's thermoregulation. It's cold. You have to figure out, you know, you're walking on contoured surfaces, which stimulates your brain, stimulates your whole body in a different way than these flat kind of coffinous type realities that a lot of us are stuck in. You know, you're looking out into the distance, which literally relaxes your whole entire nervous system. Because when we're looking at a screen close up, like we're doing right now, it contracts all the ciliary muscles around the eyes. It's literally a state of contraction. You know, so when you walk out into those woods, there's the fight inside, Shinrin Yoku, nature bathing is what they call it. Yeah. You know, so you're breathing in all of these different chemicals from the trees that literally stimulates your immune system. It stimulates your cognitive. It brings you alive. It makes you feel youthful.
No,
you know, and so that's the big conversation, man. Like, there's a quote from Voltaire. He said, what did he say? He said, modern medicine is the art of entertaining the patient while nature heals the disease. Something like that.
No, yeah, you know? I get that, actually. Yeah.
And that's what we're doing, man. We're doing it. We're taking all this stuff and we're doing all these like panaceas, super, and some things aren't panaceas, whatever, but you know, we're placebos. But meanwhile, so often, you know, it's just like, maybe it was that walk out in the woods. Maybe it was you not stressing out about your fill in the blank thing that allowed your body to start to.
Yeah, this is like one of those topics. It seems like such a small thing, but sometimes the small things are actually the biggest things. And when you look at what's happened to our culture, our lives, this small thing that maybe wasn't even a thing now is a massive thing. So I hope, you know, you're giving great things that people, if you just literally started, you know, your year this year, and said, okay, I'm going to put this into my life. I'm going to take advantage of this. You know, I'm telling you, your life will be different because you don't realize, you know, what all these things that we're surrounded by, our environmental molds, are actually molding us. And it's a big deal, man. Well, give them information on how to get, I know we have two more and I'm not letting you off the hook, but give them information. I mean, what do they find out more about all of this?
Yeah. So, I mean, people, I don't even know if people go to websites. They just go to Instagram. That's probably where most people would probably likely go to. So Align Podcast is the Instagram. I'm on there quite regularly. If you want to go deeper beyond just 60-second videos, then aligntherapy.com would be a great place. And people can, there's a 5-day movement video challenge that people can start, which breaks down all these concepts of hip hinging and how to integrate better movement into your day to day. So that'd be a great starting point. From there, we have, you know, I have self-care products and I have the online program coming.
I mean, and there, you know, you can actually learn the techniques, you know, because I feel like our job here is to get people to understand, you know, the impact that this is going to have on their health, mentally, physically, and, you know, all the way through, you know, and if we do that, then they'll take the step and go there and learn and put this in their life. Yeah. New Year's here. You know, let's, you know, set it up. Now, and then I think you had something else too. You were going to, you're going to be offering soon.
Online program is the big thing.
They're all there.
Yeah, so we're launching an online program. It's all completely done. Probably launching middle of next week. Perfect. And it breaks down specifically on how to unwind these patterns of, you know, forward head posture, rolled forward shoulders, hyperkyphotic spine, essentially everything that our modern mold in quotations forms us into. The program focuses specifically on that. And then it gets into, there's like nighttime routines and morning routines and how to move around on the ground and how to use this Align band, which you can get into all that stuff.
I was going to ask you about the Align band, honestly. But again, that people that are serious need to go there, right?
Just figure it out.
Obviously, you figure it out there and add it to your life, man. It'll change your life. Anything else, man? There was, like I said, there was two more of the steps, right?
Maybe the last two things that we don't need to get into because we're obviously like already well over time, which was totally my fault. But breathing through the nose, you know, so breath in general, start paying attention to your breath. But then once you start to pay attention to the breath, now start to bring it more through the nose. So that's shown to increase nitric oxide in the blood. It's actually shown to literally change the shape of the face. There was a study, I think it was in the 70s, and they took monkeys and they taped their nose shut so they could only breathe through their mouths. And what they found was facial deformation, like their faces started to get narrower, and like testosterone levels decreased. This whole sequela of issues happens just from breathing incorrectly because your mouth is built for eating. Yeah, it's not a breathing. It's not a breathing.
I food out my nose. This is a revelation.
Right. So that's really simple. Breathing through the nose. It's a smaller passageway, so it helps activate those diaphragmatic muscles. You're just breathing through the place that you've been meant to breathe.
What do you think about this? You know, I know it's a big deal for people who breathe through their mouth when they're sleeping. I mean, it changes. Like you said, you know, physiology, oxygen uptake, the brain, I mean, you name it. People say you can train it by taping your mouth shut, opposite of the monkeys. Have you heard of that or have you recommended?
Yeah. Patrick McCown, there's a book called Oxygen Advantage people can check out. And he's actually going to be in my upcoming book. And I think I haven't done it personally, so I couldn't say, but I've heard a lot of people that I respect said that they have done it and had great results from it. And there's specific tapes that you can get for that. You could just throw some whatever on there, but there actually is specific mouth taping, which sounds like pretty traumatic. But I've heard good things about it.
Yeah, I have too. I just wanted to get your opinion on if it worked. Does it become a habit that you don't have to sleep your whole life with tape on?
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. And so a big thing, it's just a really interesting kind of point with that is with the facial deformation. When you're breathing through your nose, naturally people can do it right now. If you just breathe through your nose as you're listening to this, you'll notice naturally your tongue will start to go up to the hard palate, go up to the top of your mouth. And what that does is it's actually creating an outward pressure. So you're pushing your face away as opposed to it sinking in. Right? And so when you're pushing that face away, it's thinking of this as like all your life. This is as like from a baby, you know, as your face, as your palate's forming. If you have you're not able to have the adequate expansion outward, then their teeth will start to get crowded and get really crooked.
Yeah.
And so in the oxygen advantage, that's a big thing they get into there is the orthodontic issues of mouth breathing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Aaron, thanks for being on the show. I mean,
man.
All thing that's a very big thing. So get Aaron's material, get his book, and go to his podcast. You'll love it. Thanks, man.
And then I will release our podcast that we recorded probably like 8 months ago or something like that on the same, whenever you release this, I'll release that. So people can, if they want to continue, they can, you know, hear you on the other side.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Perfect. Awesome. I'll see you at the next seminar, I'm sure.
Thank you, brother. Yeah, see you soon.
Well, that's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed today's episode, which was brought to you by Fast Tonic Molecular Hydrogen. Please check it out at getfasttonic.com. We'll be back next week and every Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern. We truly appreciate your support. You can always find us at podcast.drpompa.com. And please remember to spread the love by liking, subscribing, giving an iTunes review, or sharing the show with anyone you think may benefit from the information heard here. And as always, thanks for listening.